What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power? There's a lot of discussion in Christendom. What is this? Is it something that we all get when we get saved? Do we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we surrender our life to Jesus? What is the distinction between the two? Show it to me in the Bible, what it means, what's it for, and all those different elements. And so today, that's what we're going to do, is we're going to look at all these different things. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? From Joel 2, verse 28 through 29. And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. The prophets are foretelling the coming of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. They're telling the Jews and anybody else who will listen that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to come in power in a very different way than they've ever experienced in the whole Old Testament. Yes, in the Old Testament, some of the saints of old were filled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture talks about David being filled with the Holy Spirit from the time Samuel anointed him, the prophet. Talks about Elijah, the prophet, going up in the chariot of fire up into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was on him with power. And then Elisha asking for a double portion of the Holy Spirit to come down upon him. So there are times and places in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit comes and imparts great power to individuals. But it's in a very, very different manner than we have the Holy Spirit come in the New Testament. And that's where we are. We are in this in-between times, in between when Jesus came and when he is going to come again. So the Holy Spirit baptism and power was foretold by the prophets. And not just Joel. It goes through Ezekiel, Isaiah, Malachi. I mean, it's from end to end. Abraham looked for the coming of Jesus Christ. These people looked for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with power was foretold by John the Baptist. And we've looked at this scripture before, that it was an important part of his ministry, that he was to prepare the way for the Christ. And he said he was not even able to carry his sandals. From Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful. And I want you to stress on that word for a minute. This idea of power, because that's what we're talking about. And we're not talking about it to show off or to bring attention to men. But the scripture, as we look at, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power. What kind of power? What are we talking about? We're talking about the power of God coming upon a believer. I will baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now you'll know that in the second chapter of Acts, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit as they all gathered in the upper room. 120 believers were up there, and the Holy Spirit came down as cloven tongues of fire. And it rested upon them, and then they spoke in other languages. And some people over here, Medes and Persians, they understood what they were saying. It was a baptism of power. The baptism in the Holy Spirit was promised by the Father. You see, we're going through this to build this understanding in your heart that this baptism is for real. It's not something that somebody made up or some televangelist put forward to make a few bucks. This is real. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that is tangible for the life of the believer. Luke 24, 45, then he opened their minds. Who opened their minds? Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what's written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. You are my witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. You see, the Holy Spirit was a promise of the Father that he would come. And why would he come? I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You see, the key to the whole thing is the beginning, where it's in the middle there, it says, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come down upon them with power. Well, power for what? Power to preach forgiveness and repentance of sins all across the world. Acts 2:32, and God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So Jesus has died on the cross. He has paid the price for the sins of mankind. He is dead. He is buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he rises to life. And the scripture says that he appears to the disciples over many days in different situations. And he goes to them. But then the scripture talks about him ascending up in heaven. He says, wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave until you're clothed with power from on high. And so he ascends to the right hand of the Father. And the Father says, he, as he promised, he gave the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. You have the prophets. You have John the Baptist. You have the Father. And you have Jesus, all testifying to this coming. This coming. This coming. We're looking forward to this coming of the Holy Spirit. And he comes in the second chapter of Acts. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has been poured out by Jesus. Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the Father gave him the right to give the Holy Spirit, to pour it out upon all flesh who believe. All right, so then second case. What is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why do we have it? Is it so people will get healed? Is it so people will receive freedom from demonic oppression? Is it so that there will be prophetic words going out? Miracles of all kinds? People speaking in other tongues? What is the purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit? Why? You know, us Pentecostals and Charismatics, we make a pretty big deal about this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But why does God do it? You know, when you get in an airplane, I don't know if you've ever flown in an airplane or been up in a cockpit to see an airliner take off. You've probably seen it on TV. But as what you see is you see the pilot, he's sitting in the seat, and then when they come down the runway, the first thing, when they get ready to take off, they get all their ground clearances, they slam that throttle full bore forward, and they throw the power into those engines, right? Because they've got to pick up speed. They've got to get speed because it all comes down to that air flowing over the top of the it's kind of a parabola, it's the shape of a wing. It has to flow faster over the top, and it creates a lighter pressure area on top of the wing, and so there's a higher pressure beneath, and it causes lift, and that's what lifts the plane out. But it starts with power. It starts with the power from the engines accelerating the plane so that the air flows over that foil, over that wing. That's what this is all about. Is Jesus came and sent the Holy Spirit for very, very specific purposes. Power. Acts 1:7 through 8. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power." See, this is the second time we've seen this. You will receive power. John the Baptist said, "Baptize them with the Holy Spirit and fire." It's the same sense, this power. So they can show off to their friends and grow out legs and stuff like that? No. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. There it is again, isn't it? There is that idea of the gospel going forward and the name of the Lord being spread all across the earth. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power for service. To serve the kingdom of God, to serve the Father, to serve the Father's interests. You don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can feel good, so that's a byproduct of it. You get that thing so you can do the work of the kingdom. You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit from him. That's why Jesus, he said, you're going to go into all the world and you're going to preach the gospel. Well, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to pull that off. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power of God in us while we are at work building the kingdom. Hallelujah. Building the kingdom. John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. You see, Jesus was with them and they were all brave, and the 72 go out and the 12 go out and they say, even the demons are subject to us because Jesus has given them all authority and he sends them out. But now, their source is leaving. He has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead. And he's told them, he's tried to prepare them their whole lives. He tells them, he says, I'm going, and it's better that I go away. It's better that I go away, because if I go away, that means I'm going to go to the Father, and the Father is going to authorize me to send the Holy Spirit and power to you so that you will be his witnesses. Because I won't leave you as orphans, the Lord is saying. I won't leave you alone. Don't be afraid. There's one coming after me. He says, there's one coming in power after me that is going to fill you and empower you to do the work that I've called you to do. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is a power of God in us while we are at work building his kingdom. That's why when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, most of us turn into complete nutcases for Jesus. You know, the scripture talks about Paul, actually. He persecuted the church, didn't he? He was a persecuting fool against Jesus until Jesus knocks him off his donkey, blinds him, and he has to go back to the city, and then a prophet has to come and lay hands on him so that he'll receive his sight and he'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the scripture says that he turned into a complete nutcase, a basket case. He started going all around the city causing trouble, and they finally had to put him in a basket and lower him down over the wall and get him out of the city because they were going to kill him. See, that's what happens. That's why you need to be gentle with those that receive the baptism. Because it's just incredible what happens to people. Let me tell you my story. I was living in Seattle, and I was in college, and I was saved, and I'd just gotten baptized in water. And these brothers in this Christian fraternity, Maranatha, that I was a part of, They believed this baptism of the Holy Spirit stuff. And I trusted them. They cared for me. They loved me as brothers. And so I let them pray for me. And it was kind of like that. I let them. Just to patronize them. And so I'm praying with them, and they're laying their hands on me, and they're shouting and hollering and whooping and praying in tongues and just trusting God to come over me, and I'm sitting there going, and nothing's happening, and I didn't know what's going on. But then one day, and so I left, and you know, went to where I lived. And one day, I was driving my 1972 Toyota, wasn't the 442, red Toyota four-cylinder pickup. You know, remember those Chevy Love pickups, or those Toyota Highlander, I think they were called. And I was driving that on, I know right where I was. I was driving that car on Interstate 405, getting ready to cross the bridge, the Lake Sammamish Bridge, I think, or Mercer Island, and to go to the University of Washington. And I just looked up to heaven and I said, God, if there's something more, if you have something more for me, I want that. I want all you have for me. And it was the most incredible thing, driving down the road. I think I got stuck in traffic. My window was down. I remember my hand going up out of the window, and I began to praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit filled me right in that truck, and I started speaking in an unknown language, and it was flat unbelievable, the power of God that came upon me. It was unbelievable what he did to me. And I had more experiences, additional ones after that, where the Holy Spirit would... So anybody that comes up to you and tells you, you don't get the Holy Spirit until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Poppycock. That's not what the Bible says. And that's why your brothers and sisters who are not filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, your good Baptist brothers and sisters, Presbyterian brothers and sisters, all those denominations of believers who don't know Jesus as Lord, who know Jesus as Lord and Savior but don't have the baptism, they're going to be fellowshipping with you in heaven, brothers and sisters. They're going to be standing right by. They're not second-class citizens. They are Christians. They are our brothers and sisters. Because in order for someone to receive the saving work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit must indwell them. Very important. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't even belong to Christ. So you've got to have the Spirit to belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. You see, there's nowhere to hide on this. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer at salvation. What is that scripture in Corinthians? I took it out of the presentation, but it says, no one can even confess Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit gives them the ability. So these are Christians. The Holy Spirit comes to live in every believer upon confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. It has nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, except it's the same Holy Spirit. Acts 19:1. Did you? This is the proof text. Paul is going around and he's preaching to all the different churches all around. And he comes to this church and he comes upon these brothers, these believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? And he says, John's baptism. John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism of preparing. It's a baptism of looking toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And then Paul, look what he does. And they replied, and Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after them. That is Jesus. So he leads them to an understanding. On hearing this, they were baptized. So they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. But then, verse 6, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. You see, there is a subsequent and distinct difference between when someone receives the Holy Spirit at salvation versus the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't like to use this term because it starts to make people think of elitism and that people are baptized in the Holy Spirit are better than other people. But it's just not the case. What the truth of the matter is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience. It's another experience with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I've used this illustration with you before. It's like when you get saved, the Holy Spirit can be likened in you is to taking a sponge, dipping it in the water, and squeezing it, and letting it fill with water, and then squeezing it out, pulling it out, and let it open up the sponge. There's not a lot of water, and it's wet though, right? But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like taking that sponge, squeezing that sponge outside of the water, plunging it into a 5-gallon bucket of water, opening that your hand and letting it fill with water. It's just, and then picking the sponge up out of the water without squeezing it and watching it just run out. The water just run. That's the distinction. And it all comes down to power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to tickle your fancy. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to accomplish the works that God has for you, works of service. Doing your works of service, completing the work that God has for you in your life is where you find purpose. It's where you find a reason for being. You know, we talk about this all the time, and I say this on a regular basis. I don't know how people in the world get up in the morning. I just really don't know how they get up in the morning. I don't know how they go to work. I don't know how they get up every day. I don't know how they raise families. I don't know how they're faithful, because I know what I was like before I got saved. And I know what I was like before I received the baptism of the Spirit. You see, the baptism of the Spirit's empowering you to serve Him. Because he has a calling on your life, and he has a purpose, and he has something he's calling you to do with your life. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a subsequent and distinct work of the Holy Spirit, and it is distinct from the work of salvation. Same Holy Spirit, distinct two works. So you've heard, probably some of you have heard this terminology of it. They call it the second blessing. I don't like second blessing. There are a lot of people that don't like it. But it comes down to that the Holy Spirit's coming upon someone. And that's why they use the word baptism. When you get baptized, you go boosh into the water and you're just covered. And then you come out and you're just drenched. It's the same with the baptism, but it's for a purpose. All right. Who can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Who has the right to receive it? Well, first of all, you've got to be a believer. I mean, you've got to know Jesus, because nobody gets the baptism of the Spirit unless Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Does there need to be a big separation in time? So let's say someone gets saved, and then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell them as a believer. How much time has to lapse? Do they have to go through a 12-part baptism in the Holy Spirit class? No? Maybe they have to do Pastor David's 101, Discovering Life 101. You got to do 101, 201, 301, 401, and 501, then you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Scripture doesn't talk about that at all. It doesn't talk about a time frame. It says that the Holy Spirit won't come and dwell in you, and he certainly won't empower you with the baptism if you don't know Jesus. But it can happen almost simultaneously. I have seen people baptized in water who were just obeying somebody to get baptized, or they didn't even know what they were just up there to follow the rules. I've seen them get saved in the baptismal tank. Before they even go down, they're like, the Holy Spirit will come upon them, then they go down in the water and they receive the baptism in water, and then when they come out of the water, someone will lay hands on them and pray for them, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in other tongues, and they turn into this nutcase. You're all scared of being nutcases, aren't you? And you'd send them out and you can't shut them up, because Jesus is the Lord of their life and he's empowering them for service. Power to serve. Power to be his witnesses all across the world. You've got to get a hold of this. Who can receive them? Is there a special group? Maybe you got to go to a Pentecostal church to receive him. Acts 2:13. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. There you go. Got to be a Christian. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and your children and all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Every believer. Do you know there can be believers in the Catholic Church? You all know that. Don't look your nose down at your Catholic brothers and sisters out there. There are some of those people that know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They do. I've met priests. You know, Donald and Bola, you'll remember St. Joseph's just down the road from Chestnut Street Community Church. They had a priest. He was a Dominican guy. And he would come up and visit me. And he knew I was a lost sheep of the Catholic Church. And so he just, I don't know how he found that out, but he'd stop up and minister, and he'd try to recruit me back for the Catholic Church. And I said, I'm married and I got 4 kids. What am I going to do with them? He says, we'll take all of you. But this man loved Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know if he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he loved Jesus. And he was such a beautiful man. And he loved me just for who I was, even though he was trying to evangelize me or bring me home. But he was a gorgeous brother, and he was in the Catholic Church. My point is don't judge people on that, that they're a part of your church. Judge them on their heart. Do they know Jesus? And you judge the fruit. You say, well, I don't judge anybody. Yeah, you do. You need to look at people and make an assessment. Is that person a Christian? Well, how do you assess if that person's a Christian? It certainly isn't by the church they go to. It's by their heart. It's by what they say about Jesus. It's about how they feel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he love that? Do they love him? Do they live for him? Do they serve him with all of their heart? Do they look toward heaven when they die? That's how you know. That's how you know who to lead to Christ. That's how you know who to testify to. It's for every believer. Okay, we're starting to get down to the rubber meets the road. Why should I seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, we've been talking about works of service, but I want to point a couple things out to you. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Some people say, you know, I'm seeking after, you want me to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what you're really talking about is seeking God's hand, not his heart, not surrendering my heart to him and his heart to me, and that we have this relationship, and you just want that power working in your life. No, that's not it at all. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment for service so that you can accomplish the works that Christ has for you in your life. And the scripture, Paul talks about seeking the gifts of the Holy Spirit, seeking after them. It's not something you just sit back in your pew and kick your legs up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, if it's really of you, bring it on. There goes my mic. That's not a process. I mean, we're going to get more specific at this in a minute or two, but this is an active seeking. Seek him. You know, the old timers, what did they used to say? What was it? Where's Noel? Thank you, Esther. Tarry at the altar for the baptism. That's the old Pentecostal way. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. Paul is not chastening them for being eager for spiritual gifts. He's telling them that love is a much superior way. He's telling them that love is more important than spiritual gifts. Love your brother as yourself and love their... But you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. You will fail. You will fail over and over and over again. You'll try. That's why you need the power. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You got to have holy water? Has it got to be some evangelist who's been anointed? Does Catherine Kuhlman have to come back to life? Do you have to be in front of, go down the sawdust trail, down to some anointed pastor or prophet? How do you receive this baptism? Where's it? What are you going to do to get it? Acts 19:6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. The baptism in the Holy Spirit may be received by the laying on of hands. That's why we do what we do at Hamlin. That's why we pray for people and we lay on hands and we pray for people in this fashion. So it couldn't be by the laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit chooses the manner in which the believer receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not up to man. There's no formula on this. There's no set way. But there's patterns that we see from the scripture. Here. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Holy Spirit Peter wasn't laying his hands on him. Peter was just there speaking to them, and the Holy Spirit just descended upon them. Descended upon them. It's all about a desire in the heart. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is about Cornelius. Peter has gone to see Cornelius, and he's in the house of a Gentile. And he's talking with them about the things of God, and they're not even Jews. And the Holy Spirit just drops on them. You got to love that about the Holy Spirit. He is in control. He's not wondering what's going to happen next and how this world's going to work out and whether I ran is going to going to get nuclear weapons and blow South Korea up, or, you know, or North Korea, nor whether this new guy at the helm, the son of the past president of North Korea, the Holy Spirit is not losing a bunch of sleep over these things. Not that the Holy Spirit sleeps. The Holy Spirit is God. We got to keep coming back to that. Remember, that's where we started this series 6 parts ago. We looked at the theology of the Holy Spirit, and we said there's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all equal God. They are all God, equal. The Holy Spirit has purposes and has jobs that he does. The Son has purposes and jobs that he does. They've both submitted themselves to the Father, but they're all fully God. Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. The Holy Spirit is fully God, and when he comes to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God residing in your very person. Glory to God. Why would anybody want to live without this? Why would anybody want to go a day, a minute, an hour, a second without the baptism? Why? When the power of God could come upon you and change you, cause you to be what he has foreseen for you from the beginning of all time. What can I do to prepare myself to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's next? What's next? Number one, understand that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift from God and must be received with gratitude and thanksgiving. Oh, be thankful, church. Be thankful that he is ready and willing to give you the baptism. He wants to pour that out upon you. Number two, be grateful. Number two, confess any sin in your life and resolve to live a righteous life before God with his help. Do you have besetting sin in your life? Confess it to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and ask him for strength to get through this. We're preparing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number three, express to the Lord your deep desire. You know, and I think this is one of the most important elements of this. To express to him that I want what you have for me. I really do. I believe this with all of my heart. I said it multiple times. Before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I called out to God for it. I called out to him, and I called out on my own. I called out with friends, and I called out, and I called out, and I said, and these are my exact words, brothers and sisters. 30 years ago, if you have something more for me, I'm asking for it. I want everything that you have for me. And I'm telling you, it is, he honored that in my heart and in my life. You know, there's absolutely nothing good in my life. Nothing good. There is nothing. I am a rotten man at the heart. There is nothing good that dwells in me that did not come from God. If you would have known me when I was in high school, you would have run. You'd have probably gone and gotten a gun. Because the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon people, he takes them right where they're at and he changes them. He changes them and he turns them into a vessel fit for good works. He heals up all those scars, all those imperfections in the pot, all the divots and places where the glaze didn't cover the pot fully. And turns that thing that's just nasty, ugly, into something that's beautiful for his glory. But you got to want it. You got to desire it. You got to say, and I think it's okay to be able to say, I don't understand all of this. But you know what? I understand that the Scripture says that there is a salvation with the Holy Spirit and that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are distinct. The baptism is subsequent to being saved, and I want it. That's all you need to do. I want what you have, Father, for me, so that I can do your work. Ready your hearts and ready your life begin a journey of power and service to the Creator of the universe. Do you know that only He is worthy of your life? There's nothing else in this world that is worthy. Nothing else is worthy of your time, your energy, anything in the, of you giving your life to, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to have the worship team come. Please remain seated for just a minute. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to pray with you that you would receive this baptism. We're going to pray that God would do an incredible, mighty miracle here. You're going to be out on the little ones. You're going to be out on those fine limbs. But you can trust Him out there, because there are people in here that are going to come alongside you and help you. They're going to stand with you, and they're going to lay hands on you, and they're going to pray for you. And they're going to believe God that the baptism would come on you. So would you stand? Now remember what I said. First of all, I said it was subsequent. You got to give your life to Jesus first. And so I want to pray with you, and I want to pray with the whole crew of you. And I want to pray a prayer of salvation. I'd like to pray you to pray it out with me. Will you do that? So let's go to the Lord while Andrew plays softly in the background. Say, Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Afresh, anew. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of the offenses that I've been to you. Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me and save me. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life today. I believe it because you said it. Jesus is Lord of my life. Amen. You know, the scripture says that nobody confesses Jesus as Lord unless the Holy Spirit brings it upon them. So if you've never done that before, is what you've done is you just surrendered your life to Jesus. It means you're not your own anymore. It means that Jesus has bought you and paid the price. He died on the cross for you, gave His life for you. Now is what you need to do is you need to get baptized in water, but you also need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.